We are on page Tidin Emes Liakov. We are on page Mikael Kamoch, page 530. We have done yesterday the Mitzudos, the Rashi, and today, excellent. Wow, you really listen. at least the last thing we said. Okay. Okay, we're up to Mikael Kamoich. Let's see the Malm. Pasuk Yud Ches. Mikael Kamoich. B'siyam Dvarav Yitein Hodoya LaHashem Al Slichas Vavonos. So this is again. This is similar to what it said in the Radak. The Radak said also that everyone will leave. I mean, the Radak and the Mitzudos, they both said this, something similar. Well, I don't know. If it's similar. It's maybe it's not. He's giving over here Hodoya. Now, okay, let's stop right there. Is this over here called Shevach? According to the Radak, the Radak did not say the word hoidoyah. All the Radak said was that the Navi over here is coming. These are the words of the Navi. And likewise, the Mitzudos David, he says, Chazanav he says, Lishabeach. Okay, so the Malbum says the word hoidoyah, which indeed is similar to the word Lishabeach. B'siyum devarav yitin hoidoyah l'Hashem al slichas v'avayna sheyis Hashem. Here we're giving praise to Hashem regarding forgiveness.
This is like, thank you, Hodaya.
Correct. Hodaya is thank you for what? What is? Oh, so this is, that's what is unique about the Malam. The Malam learns that this is a thank you for forgiveness. Whereas the Radak did not mention forgiveness. Let's go further. Shit Hashem al Pesha, Hashem Pesha Amoy. Oimer Ata, Kel. Mikamach Hashem, who is like you, Nosi Avon, written Loimar Hagam Shetachili Yisartan Ba'avonam. Although in the beginning you chastise them in their sin, for their sins, although in history our forefathers suffered, but us, the survivors of the Yimos HaMashiach, l'sheiris hamod l'hadosh yisharu b'keitz haymin lohem hu noisei avoyin v'yoyver al-pesh. Hashem will forgive them. Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being late. I had to take care of something which. Yeah.
What does it mean? Sometimes I hear this expression. Someone's going to jail, and then someone will say to them, "Bring back the geula." What does that mean?
It means nothing. People say strange things all the time. V'gam ani b'soicham. So I was complaining to me about the guys in this place where they're all nuts. The certain place I go, it's almost that every single person is crazy. I says, the gamani b'saychem. I also can give you a list of all my crazy things. Now we have the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. The Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim is an extremely difficult topic. And once upon a time we spent a lot of time learning about the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim Hashem. Now one of the biggest questions about the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim is to break that. Forget about what it means. Before we even get to defining the difference between the word Rachum v'chanun, and defining the difference between Erech HaPayim and Rav Chesed and Emes, just to break down the pasuk of Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum V'chan into 13 different sections is a very, very great mystery. And I have a chart, I have to bring in more material to illustrate. The number of different opinions, there are many different opinions as what, how to count and to enumerate the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. There are many different opinions. So we'll come to that soon. And the reason why that is important is because here we have these three psukim, and we're going to attempt at the end to show how each section of the pasuk is one of the 13 Midos. One of the sections of the each one is a different midah of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. We're going to try to match. Sorry, excuse me. We're going to try to match up the Yud Gimel Midos here to the Yud Gimels that we know about. Problem is, we don't even know about the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, how to properly define them in the Pesukim. And if I remember correctly, when we spent time learning about the Yud Gimel Sarachamim, we set an idea, which I want to bring out again, and I'll bring it now, which is important for what we're going to try to do over here. And that is, if you want to satisfy all of the opinions of the commentators, of the Rishonim, as to what exactly are the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachamim, you're probably going to have more like, not 13, 15, 16, even 17 different possible candidates. When you take the psukim, when they, as they begin, Vayavar Hashem al Pono Vayikra, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem, Kilrachim, Lechan, Ercha Paim, Rav Chesed, Vyemes, Nosuchesed, Lo Alfim, Nosom, Vavim, Vafesha, Vichato, Venake, Visolachto, La Avanenu, Ulchato, Senun, Unchaltanu. If you take that entire pasuk from beginning to end, where do the Yud, Gimel, Midos, Sarachimim begin, and where do they end? Some of the commentators will tell you the word Vayikra is the first of the Yud, Gimel, Midos, Sarach. Whoever said that Hashem, Hashem is the beginning. And Hashem, Hashem is this repetition. There's Hashem, Hashem. So what is it? So some will tell you Hashem is the Midah of Rachamim before a person sins. And Hashem, the second Hashem is the Hashem as Rachmanis after the person sins. Not everyone agrees to that interpretation. Some will tell you that the Yud Gimels begin before the word Hashem. Maybe it begins with the word Vayavar. Vayavar Hashem al Panav. The fact that Hashem passes before Moshe Rabbeinu, that itself is an expression of Rachamim. And when it says Hashem, Hashem, whoever said that it's Hashem Koidem Achet, Hashem Achrachet, maybe the two times Hashem, Hashem is one expression of Rachamim. And then when it's over, we stop Vinake. Okay, Vinake. Why stop there? It's the middle of the pasuk. There are more words after Rachel Ercha Rav Chesed Nosa Chesed Lo Aleph Nosa Elva Feshet Chato Vinake. And what then? Visolachta Vinake Lo Yinake. So we stop after Vinake, but it says Lo Yinake. Poiked Ova Novos Albanim Al Shlishim Yal Yibeim. It goes on. Why are you stopping there? Why are you stopping, in fact, in the middle of an expression? So okay, this is something we have to get to because we have a duty to really discuss because this topic we have to get to a little bit later on. But at least to bring out because we're going to come across a lot of things now about the Yud Gimel Sarachamim, especially in the Mefarshim, as we're going to get to now. And then we'll come back and we'll put everything together. But the Yisoid, this is a Chiddush that we said back then, and again it's relevant, there's a principle of Ein HaBrocha Mitzuya Ela B'davar HaSamoy Min Ha'ayin. That's a basic principle. We learned yesterday by an Ayin Hara, about a principle that... Truma is Ma'ishos. Brocha is found in concealment. Ein habracha mitzuya ela bedavar hasamui min ha'ayin. It's not a good thing to quantify, right? To expose your blessing. Blessing is found in concealment. Just like that expression of what is the greatest blessing of this world? The greatest blessing of this world is this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with us chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind and generous to us. This is the greatest form of kindness, of blessing in this world. The Yud, Gimel, Midos, Sarachamim are truly hidden. We have a pasuk. We begin with Vayavar Hashem al Pono Vayikra Hashem Hashem. And it goes on, Vinakei lo yinakei, Pokeid avoin avois al banim al bnei banim al shleishiv yal ribayim. And it goes on to the end of the pasuk. We have now a tradition that there are Yud, Gimel, Midos of Rachamim. We have a tradition that there are Yud, Gimel, Midos of Rachamim. We do have this tradition that there are Yud, Gimel, Midos of Rachamim. And we cannot define who they are, where they are. Because each one of the Rishonim will select a different part of the Pasuk and tell us this. These are the 13. So we as observers, as students, cannot identify where the 13 are. All we do know is that when you read the pasuk from beginning to end, somewhere in there are 13 midos sarachamim. And even the part that we actually say, Hashem, Hashem, kol rachel v'cham, even that is subject to enormous dispute as to define exactly from that those expressions how to break them down into 13. So in other words, if you take the whole pasuk and you read the whole pasuk from beginning to end, it's the ultimate bracha, but the ultimate bracha comes packaged in such a way where it's summary, it's hidden. And that's by design, because of the principle, Hatznei leches im Hashem Elokecha, ein habracha mitzuya ella bedavar hasamoy min ha'ayin. Bracha is only to be found hidden. You don't know where bracha is. And it's not just a person brings in grain, chumas and maestros. It's an income, you know, it's something which is not quantified. That's where you allow Hashem to operate. By checking over a person's shoulder and counting every single penny, there's a concept where you want to count, then you want to be precise with you. But when it's open and it's wide open and it's vague, that's where bracha is found. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, when He gives us the ultimate blessing, He gives it to us in such a way where we cannot even identify where that blessing is. We do know that Hashem's mercy, this Hashem is willing to overlook and forgive and allow us to exist despite our shortcomings, is a blessing. And we cannot define where exactly in the pasuk that blessing is. It's somewhere there. It's a very powerful concept. This even adds more layers of mystique to that principle. Because here we have a tradition that Pasuk Yud Ches through Pasuk Chaf, in these psukim lies the Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachamim. And you could read the psukim 1,000 times and you'll never pick it up. Unless someone shows you and you break your head seeing where in these psukim do you see an equivalence, a match of the 13 Midois of Rachamim. That is by design, because bracha is always concealed. In our own lives, you don't know what's good for you. Person gets a job, and at the time he gets a job, he thinks about it's just a waste of time. It's a waste of time. What do I get out of this? And then you look back years later, and you reflect, and you say, you know something? That I thought was the biggest waste of time and total nonsense, if I reflect back on my life, that's what all my success came from. That everything that I have in life came from that, those things that I thought were nonsense. That's all part of the way Hashem conducts this world.
It works the opposite way also.
Correct. Well, I'm not so sure I agree with that.
Things you think are very important, you ultimately learn that.
But it's not necessarily a klala. You can't necessarily think that you think are important turned out to be, they're not so important. But to say that they were a klala, I don't know if Hashkaf allows us to say anything in the life that was a curse or caused us harm. Okay, it was what it was. But bracha, this is a major principle in Yadus. Ein habracha mitsuya ella bedavar hasamoy min ha'ayin. It's not just in money. I can't tell you how much I made this year. I don't count the dollars and cents. The money just comes in and is spent, and it is what it is. And look at that. I got a house. I got food. I got a car. And I how much money I made? I don't know. I don't like to keep track. It's in Hashem's hanhaga of rachamim. We have a series of psukim. Try to pinpoint for me the Yod Gimel Midas. I can't really, because I have a chart that I'll show you. Just the chart itself has 5 Rishonim. Okay, I'm going to bring in the chart eventually. Has 5 Rishonim. Probably. Okay, I know where the chart is at home. I have it in my mind where the chart is. And on the chart alone, there are at least 5, maybe even more. I know what the sale is. And it takes the pasuk, it breaks it up into, wow, I never knew it was so complex. And that's just the beginning. That's the tip of the iceberg. And then, oh, by the way, these psukim that we emphasize on the Yomim Noiroyim, We had because the ultimate emphasis is we read these psukim on Yom Kippur, right before Ne'ilah. We read these psukim on Shabbos Shuvah. On Shabbos Shuvah, we don't say Hashem Hashem. Okay, you're reading from scripture. Okay, this is serious stuff. We read from these psukim, and by reading from these psukim, we are expressing the Yud Gimel Midos, and yet it's very hard how we're going to identify in these psukim the Yud Gimel. Okay, so now that we have that Hakdama,
wouldn't you expect in terms of trying to define Midos Hashem, wouldn't you expect them to be kind of vague because he is beyond our understanding?
Yes, but no. Yes, because Hashem is infinite. Hashem is beyond our understanding. Yet, we live in America, the land of entitlement, correct? And the same way we have entitlements, we feel we have entitlements from the government and from our life, unrealistic entitlements in this world, we have entitlements to understand Hashem. This principle of also very basic Yisoid is Tzimtzum. Hashem is infinite, but Hashem, built into creation, he confines himself. He confines himself to a reality that we are able to understand. There are rules of the game. There's a balance. There's an acknowledgement that Hashem is beyond, but you created me. Man was created b'tzelem Elokim, and that entitles me to demand of Hashem to be able to understand him in some form of way. So we have a right. We have a right, an entitlement to understand Hashem's rules. And Chazal gave us the rules. They are Yod Gimel Midos. Hashem gave us we have his rules. These are the rules that Hashem plays by in this world. This is how Hashem was mitzamsem. He confined himself for the human mind to understand. Okay? Excellent. We have the playbook. Let's go play game. Let's play ball. And the problem, we play ball and we realize we're playing ball, but we can't really identify the moves. So if that's the beauty, that's the complexity of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mitzad Echad, he gives us the rules because we are entitled to the rules. Mitzad Sheni, Ein habrocha mitzuya ela bedover hasama min ha'ayin. In everything, not just in dollars and cents, in life, in our entire existence, and in the actual midos that Hashem uses to control this world. Now, with that, let's go back to the Malbim. The Malbim over here is coming over here to go over here and to match up. So the first one, Lavinei, Beyud Gimel Midos Amar Noise Avon Vilfesha Vechata, Shehanasiyahu Sheyisu. What does it mean, Noise? Shehanasiyahu Sheyisu Vyispol Oiso Velo Yanishalov. Tolerance. Okay? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries and tolerates. Velo Yanishalov. Hashem does not punish. Uvechol Zos Hu Shamur Etzlo Le'es Mitzo. And despite all this, is Shomer Etzel Leis Mitzvah. Hashem is Shomer Etzel Leis Mitzvah. Kamosha Kasu Vinake Lo Yinaken. So let's review that. Hashem is first. He's getting his tolerant. Yisov Chotov Lo Yan. He's not going to punish. V'cholchu Shomer Etzel the sin. Here's another contradiction. Say again. No. Ambivalence, fine. Although HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's tolerant, it's still there. Hashem.
Just because it's not punished at this time, it's not wiped off.
It's not wiped off. What does it mean, kapara? The word that we use, kapara, what does kapara mean? Kapara means to cover. It doesn't mean that it disappears, it never existed. It means, in the meantime, Hashem. He covers it over.
Defers.
Okay, Hushamer etzlo le'es mitzo at the time when Hashem wants to recall it. Kimoshakasu v'nakei to take vengeance. lo yinakeh, which implies, he's trying to say an interpretation, that it's there, but Hashem will just not exact revenge. Doesn't say that Hashem is going to clean it away. Vinakeh, to take revenge? I'm not going to take revenge. The connotation of this expression means it is present. It's just, I'm not going to hold you responsible. Uvizman ha'asid yihyeh shinui. There's going to be a difference. What do we mean? What do we mean there's going to be a difference? She'es ha'pesha shu ha'mered she'enu avoin. This, that's a pesha, which is, what is the word, the first he's coming over to define the word pesha. Pesha means it's done b'mezid. Shehu ha'mered she'enu avoin. Ritzon elomar she'loi nasa yidei minus v'ivol ha'seichel. Ya'avir ligamri. In the future, there's going to be a change of rules, so to speak. Something which is a pesha, which means an outright rebellion. There are three different, typically there are three different types of expressions that we use to refer to sin. Chet, avoin, v'fesha. Chet is inadvertent. It was done completely by mistake. Avoin, it was done knowingly that I'm not allowed to do this, but I don't care because I'm hungry. You want to go to a non-kosher pizza store. Well, listen, I'm hungry. Am I allowed to go into the non-kosher pizza and have a non-kosher pizza? No. Am I rebelling against Hashem? Am I trying to spite Hashem? No. I'm not trying to openly rebel against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's called avoin. And pesha means lahachis. A person lahachis, in spite, wants to go and challenge the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, over here it says, "She'ena nasla idei minus v'eva seichel yavil yavil yavil." So la'asa lava, the third category, which is pesha, which means spite. Hashem is going to, what is he going to do? Return lema she'loi nasla idei minus v'evil aseichel yavir legamri. Hashem will completely remove. So he's saying over here something which is very, very hard to understand, is that in the future, there's not going to be anything called merit. There's not going to be anything called outright rebellion. What will remain in the future? Avoin. People who sin because they just don't care. Not because they're trying to rebel against Hashem. Now, how does he see that? From this, he's saying something that is, the Malam is saying ideas that are totally, that are extremely novel, extremely unique. The pasuk here says, Mikel Kamoicha. We have to first understand that Psukim Yudches, Yudtes, and Chaf, according to the Malam, are not referring to today. It's referring to Hashem's game plan for Yemos HaMashiach. And that's a very dangerous principle. Because we have an understanding that it's one of the animamins that the Torah that we have today is not going to change one iota in the times of Mashiach. Animam b'munah shleima shezois atar shloi tehei michulafes v'loi tehei, I've got the exact words, Torah acheres, something like that, klalu klal. There's one of the 13 yud midos of the animam is there's not going to be any change whatsoever. So what does that mean exactly? According to, because we do have a pasuk, where is it? I think it's Yecheskel, that talks about the Torah Chadasha. Hashem is going to have a covenant with us, a new Torah. Now what does that mean? So that's apikorsis, what that means, and it's a struggle in Chazal to understand what that means exactly. But this, so here the Malbum is treading on some very so the Malbum here is treading upon some very dangerous waters, where he is suggesting, he's saying that this pasuk is describing the midos of Hashem, not just the midos of Hashem, is describing our relationship to Him, and it's going to be different from what we are accustomed to today. In the Yud, Gimel Midos Harachamim, there's something called Hashem Kel Racham Erchavai Rav Chesed Nosei Avoin Vofesha. Hashem is Nosei Avoin Vofesha. What's this Avoin and this Pesha? And here in Pasuk Yud Ches, there is no Fesha. The elephant is missing. The elephant in the room is not here. In the Yud Gimel is Nosei Avoin Vofesha. Here it's Nosei Avoin. Here it says ve'oiver al pesha. In the Yud Gimel Midas Racham is Hashem Kel Racham Chan Erchem Rav Chesed. It was noisei avon vofesha. Hashem is noisei avon. He is the noisei of the avon and the pesha. Pesha is included in the term noisei. Here it doesn't say that. Here it says ve'oiver al pesha. Hashem is only noisei avon. But Pesha, it doesn't say that he's noisei, it says he is oiver. Uvizman osei ho yiyah shinoi es ha Pesha, shu ha merit a Pesha, which is merit she'in ovoin, retzolema shloi nasa yide minus v'evil ha-seichel, which is things that are not done through.
So, yeah. He's saying that there are two stages?
There are different stages. Let's read it. Yes, let's.
You're saying something is carried on the books.
No, you say he interprets. No, you say to me, Hashem is tolerant. He is tolerant. Okay, let's say as a pesha shun amere chayna of it. Ritzalim shalonas ayde minus yivus dechel yaavir legamri. Rak yasa oven lo yav min amitzius. The oven he will not wipe away. So he's breaking up two different things of merit and outright rebellion and ovoin. One will cease to exist, and the ovoin will continue. He will tolerate ovoin. Now that I'm not sure what that means a little further. Vine midas erech hapayim, the midah of erech hapayim. What is erech hapayim? Hashem is slow to get angry. Nistabeb al yidei. Shenoisei avon. How does it exist? Shenoisei avon vafesha. Hashem is tolerant of avon vafesha. Hashem is tolerant of avon and pesha. Ve'enei ma'aviro legamri. Ve'rak shesoyv lo yisoyim marich af. Hashem tolerates it. Umarich af. Shaloi lahanish takeif. Not to punish immediately. But vil osid she esapesha yavio legamri lo yimotze midas erech apayim rak el ha'avoin. The only time it will be necessary for there to be erech apayim patience will be for the avoin she iso lo yavir, that will not cease to exist. Rak yiso iso, he will tolerate it. The yarich af uvezeh hoisif lo yehechazik apoy lo ad shegam al ha'avoin. Then he goes on to the next portion she avoin she olav marich apayim. He's not going to hold on to the anger forever. Period. Okay, so let's try to summarize that just very quickly. Not to dwell upon this too long, because basically he's saying over here an awesome chiddush that is really beyond. That he's taking these psukim and he's applying these midos to l'osid lovin. Not like most of the commentators that are telling us there's going to be a difference in Hashem's hanhaga. There will be a difference regarding Hashem's hanhaga with man in the future. There's going to be a new type of relationship. It's the mitzvahs are not being changed. It's the way Hashem deals with us, and this principle called pesha will not exist. Why will it not exist? So it can mean one of two things. I'm not sure what he means. Either it means that no one, when Mashiach will come, will ever be in a state of Pesha. It's a new reality. When Hashem's presence is out in the open, it is humanly impossible for a person to outright rebel against Hashem. The whole possibility of Pesha cannot exist when Hashem is palatable. You walk in the street, there's Hashem. You see what Hashem does to you. You're going to go and lachachis, rebel against Hashem? Merit. What?
Avon is lachachis.
No, avon.
The avon is.
Yeah.
Pshia. Look at the shomer. Shomer, there is a pshia. He doesn't mean it on purpose, but he did it.
Okay, I don't think that's the common understanding. I don't think that's the common understanding. I think because over here, he doesn't seem to say that. He seems to over here say, in the beginning, on the second line, he's defining. On the second line, he says, Ubizmana said yes. On the second line, he says, first of all, you'd give me the Sama Noise of Vafesha, Vachata. Hashem is Noise, he tolerates, Ovoin, Pesha Chata. Change. Says a pesha. What is pesha? He says clear. Pesha shuhu hamerit. The third line. The third wide line. You see the third wide line in the album? She es a pesha shuhu hamerit. Pesha is merit. Outright rebellion. She ain't oven. Don't confuse pesha with oven. When Mashiach will come, well, so now let's take what it says. Return to Leimar. Shaloi nase al yidei minus v'evil haseichel. What is Ovoin? Now he's defined. What is Ovoin is when a person is, his mind is corrupt. I have a misunderstanding of Hashem. Minus does not mean lachachis. Minus many times in the Gemara especially, minus means addiction. The Gemara talks, it's very clear in the Gemara, where the Gemara talks of the person that is, it's very hard to understand what this means, but the person that lives in the world of Minos, it's impossible for him to be cleansed in this world. Why? The Gemara, because when you try to force him, the withdrawal symptoms, the Gemara basically says, the withdrawal symptoms will kill him. When he does teshuva, and he removes himself from his enjoyment of this of doing what he was doing, the withdrawal symptoms are so painful he dies. An alcoholic or a person on drugs, they take him into a hospital, and they take away. They don't just stop cold turkey, right? Cold turkey. They stop giving him. They give it to him. They give him. They have in the hospital. They have drugs. They have all the substances that he was taking until now, and they continue to give it to him, but less. Every day they give him a little bit less to gradually wean him off his addiction. Because if you just stop cold, he'll die. He'll go out of his mind. You can't stop in one moment. You have to go withdraw. You have to gradually withdraw from the addiction. The same way that principle is true in the physical world, when we're dealing with alcohol or other types of chemicals, it's true in the world of apikorsis. A person that is so enamored by apikorsis, when you begin to say, you say to him, stop it. The ideas, the concepts that you're living are false, and you have to gradually draw him closer to Hashem by teaching him the MS. You know what happens is, he can die. He can have an effect upon him which will completely destroy his life. He has to be gradually withdrawn. But there are some things in life that are so addictive. There's no way the rest of this person's life he can do without it. Okay, we know people. I remember a story recently about a person who was smoking, a person who was addicted to cigarettes. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor basically said to him, you will die in a very short time if you don't stop smoking. And it was clear as day he was going to die, and it was clear as day that he had the ability that if he would stop, he could live longer. And he couldn't. He just couldn't, he couldn't do it. He said, I'm going to die. I'm killing myself, but I can't control myself. So the same way that's true when it comes to the physical world, it's true when it comes to the spiritual world. The Malam over here is saying something extremely profound. That in Yemos HaMashiach, there's not going to be any type of substance abuse called merit. There's no such thing as pesha. Why not? The Malbim is not telling us why not. He's leaving that to our imagination. And what could it be? It could be one of two things. Either it means no one will have the need, or will have the Yetzirah to rebel, to be a merit. Why will no one ever have the need? Because Hashem's love will be so awesome in this world, it's just not going to be possible for a person to have this desire to rebel against Hashem. Is that what it means? Or maybe it means that when Mashiach comes and Hashem's greatness is so apparent, there will be people that will want to rebel. But you know what's going to happen to them? They will be obliterated instantly. Okay, it's not telling us. All the Malbim is telling us something extremely profound. And what he's saying is you can't ignore what he says. He says, we have here Yudches Tchav, obviously something which touches upon the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. But it's not the same. Because the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim in the Torah, it says Hashem is Noisei, which he translates to mean he's tolerant of three things. Avon, Pesha, and Chata. In Micha, it says, Hashem is Noisei, Avon. Hashem is not tolerant of Pesha, and chato, because it doesn't say that. It's noisy avoin. Oh, so what happened? What happened to the pesha? What happened? It says over the oiver al pesha l'sheris tach al asoy. It says Hashem is oiver. What does that mean? So the Malbim is saying it means that there will be no such thing as pesha. It will not exist. It will not exist. Why will it not exist? He's not telling us. So I'm suggesting to you two possibilities. Either there will be no desire to be from those who are rebellious. Just like today we could appreciate that there's no desire to worship idols. The Yetzirah does not exist. Or it means Hashem will not be tolerant. You want to rebel against me? I will obliterate you. Just like we learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to obliterate Amalek, Hashem will obliterate those nations of the world which are not with the program. So now, let's go further. Okay, so Pesha. Now here's the Chiddush. Once we move from the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, this principle. Now let's not count numbers, but once we remove from the equation this concept that there's no such thing any longer, Yimos HaMashiach, that Hashem is tolerant of Pesha, now we have to redefine all of the other Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Because according to the Malbim, this is something, another new insight into the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. The other Midos of Erech HaPayim and Rav Chesed and Emes are all modifiers of Chet, Pesha, and Avon. Indirectly, we're learning from the Malbim that this, the 13 Midos HaRachamim, are not independent Midos. There are the main, there are the main, what are the main? There is something called, we first have to define sin. Let's define sin. There's something called chet, pesha, and avon. The Mishnah Berurah says, and that you go to mikvah, Erev Yom Kippur, how many times do you dunk in the mikvah? If you go to mikvah, public mikvah, it's very funny. Some people are in and out of the mikvah so quickly, you can't, before you blink, the guy's gone. Okay, he's a newbie. He never went to mikvah before, so you know, the newbies, they run in and out. They don't even take a shower, okay? They don't. It's very funny what goes on in the public mikvah, every Yom Kippur. People don't know the rules, the etiquette of what you're supposed to do. So the newbies are in there. Some people, what in the world is this guy doing? He's dunking like 1,000 times. And some people, they know, they splash, like, what are you doing over here? Come on over here. Leave some water for someone else. No one here has these experiences, I see. What?
Someone in it.
What does that mean? Okay, people do very funny things. But the Mishnah Berurah says that when you go to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, you're supposed to toivel 3 times. Why? Because Yom HaKippurim, you're being toivel not for tumah, for teshuva. We always like to give Torah about mikvah. There are different reasons why you go to mikvah. You go to mikvah as a baal teshuvah. What are you being tevil for? Chet, avoin, and pesha. It's Erev Yom Kippur. You have to cleanse yourself from your chatoim, your inadvertent sins. I'm a shaygeg. It was an accident. You have to be tevil because of your avoinos, the sins that you did willingly. I know you're not allowed to do this, but I don't care. I come first. Hashem, I love you, Hashem. Hashem, I love you. I'll do anything for you. But Hashem, you know, I'm sorry. I come first. That's called an avayin. My needs come before your needs. And then this pesha and saying, Hashem, I don't need to do this. I'm doing this despite you. Rahman al-Islam. That's called pesha. So in each person, you got all three. Every person has in them an element of chet. Now chet is also a sin. Because if you really were a tzaddik, it would not have happened. If you really with the program, it would not have happened, and you would sit by the Shabbos and say, uh-oh, I didn't realize that this is not kosher. How could it be that I'm eating over here? And I said, not kosher. It doesn't have a good hechsher. That's an accident. I didn't know. What do you want from me? I went to a store. Everyone goes to that store. They only have kosher products. If you really were meticulous in your observance of mitzvahs, like you should be, it would not have happened that you would have been nichshol in that sin. So even an inadvertent sin, there is a degree of chet. So you dunk once for chet, once for avoin, and once for pesha. According to the Malbim, we have a chiddush. That la'asid lavoi, you only have to dunk in the mikvah two times. The line in the mikvah, Erev Yom Kippur, will be 5 minutes less. What? Avon and chet. You're not going to have to dunk three times or two times. Yes.
Chet. Avon pesha. But if you say, avon pesha, what is
the... All three.
Not in order.
The order not up to yet. We have to first get the basics, the order. Well, we have to appreciate what the Malbim is saying. It says in the Yud Gimel Mitzrachim, Hashem, Rachel, Kerem, Noisei, Rachel, Erech, Apayim, Noisei, Ovoin, Chet, Ovoin, Pesha, V'chato'o. The order is unique. Ovoin, Pesha, V'chato'o. Then the Malbim is teaching us indirectly, now that we have defined what the three elements of sin are, the other midos are the way Hashem deals with our insurrection, our chet, avod, and pesha. Oh, Jew, you have a chet, avod, and pesha. I will be patient. I will show erech apayim. Erech apayim now branches off in three directions. There's erech apayim for chet. There's erech apayim for avoin. There's erech apayim for pesha. Hashem has rachum. Hashem will have rachum for chet. Rachum for avoin. Rachum for pesha. There's going to be three streams. Along comes the Malbim, and the Malbim says, la'asid lava, there's only two. There's only going to be chet and avoin. There's no such thing as pesha. Why not? He doesn't tell us. But it's not going to exist. Now that it's not going to exist for whatever reason, we're in a lot of trouble. Because all of the other midos of being Erech HaPayim and Rav Chesed and Emes, which are all the way Hashem deals, have to now be redefined. Have to now be reapplied. Maybe there's a greater intent now that Hashem doesn't need to channel his midos into three streams. Maybe the two still be only going to be two streams emanating. Maybe it will have a whole new dimension. A whole new dimension. If you have to split something into three parts, you got to share the wealth, right? You have a stream, and there are three branches. And now we're going to reduce from three to two. That creates a new dynamic. So all the midos now are going to be recalibrated.
He gives the answer.
Right.
That's the way he's going to deal with these three.
He's going to deal differently.
So
but
Avon, if somebody's crooked with crooked mind,
Hashem not tolerate.
He's sick. He's yeah. sick. So he can be cured. That's no problem. Hashem will say until he will get cured. But if some and Chatav is no problem. But the second one, which is the Pesha Merida, they will not, it won't exist. Why? Because Hashem Chafetz Chesed. How can you rebel against Chesed? How can you? It's going to disappear by itself. Lo echzik la'ad apo, Hashem, no, I don't care about this. Ani rotze chesed. Try to rebel me. It won't. Nobody will be able to. If somebody is so bad, she rotze to rebel. Come on, you will not exist. You will disappear completely.
Okay.
That's the merida. The merida.
Okay, okay, that's a similar idea. It's a similar idea. Okay, yeah.
Maybe that Marvin doesn't explain why, because not everybody deserves to be in the time of coming Melech HaMashiach. Only Baalei Emunah.
So you're coming to no, the other level, because no. Why is there not going to be Avon L'Asa Lavo? Either it's because at that moment in time in history, Avon will be...
Pesha is
no. There is no why there's no Pesha L'Asa Lavo? There is no tolerance of Pesha L'Asa Lavo.
No, everybody believe in Hashem.
Exactly.
And love right. Hashem and not...
Exactly. So it's not possible. Bad. But he's saying they will still exist L'Asa Lavo Avon. There will still exist right. People that will say, Hashem, I love you, Hashem. I'm not rebelling against you, but Hashem, I come first. My needs come before. I'm not rebelling against you. Okay, so let's review this. Malm is saying a lot of very important yesoidos in Yadus. The Malm starts by telling us, noting the difference between the pasuk here and the pasuk in Yisrael and Kisisa, where we have the Yud, Gimel, Midos, Sorachmin. And he takes note that there are three different elements of sin. And the other and everything else in the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim expresses the way Hashem deals with our three different categories of sin. We have a problem because L'Asa Lavoi, the third element of sin, will not exist. Avon, which represents open rebellion, will not exist. Why will not it exist? Rav David is saying it's because it's not going to happen. No one will dare, or either Hashem will not tolerate it. Or it's just not possible for a person to outright rebel against Hashem because of his intense presence in this world. But the other two of inadvertent sins and people who just are balei taiva will continue to exist. And for those elements, we're now going to take the other midos of the yud, the way Hashem deals, and apply it to them, recalibrate those midos and apply it to them. Okay, let's go further. You test. What?
Yes, there is on that time.
Yes, sir. Well, according to the Malbim, yes. According to the Malbim, yes.
There is
yes. You have the Rambam. You have over here the Malbim. Yes. Pasuk you test. Yashuv yirachameinu v'yimchol mitzar rachamim. The Ali dechamidus of Hashem will have Hashem. He will return have pity upon them and he will forgive them mitzar rachamim. The Ali hamidus ha'ela yichbosh avoy noisenu. He will conquer. A new change of rule asalavo. Until now, when it came to the three different elements of chait, of achatah and avon and pesha, Hashem was tolerant, but it still was on the record. If you go and you look on the record, here are your grades. L'asalavoi, we've eliminated one thing entirely. So all we're left with is chet and avon. But even chet the avon, Hashem will clean it off the record. It will not even exist on the record. One is a machlokes in Rosh Hashanah, what's going to be lost? Will Hashem be koivesh? Hashem is noisei, but the avon atzmai ain't a nimchak. That is not even, that doesn't even exist. Yeah. Okay, leave that out. V'sashlech b'mtzulos yom kol chatoisam. Okay, Hashem will then throw into the depths of the sea kol chatoisam. Aval achet shechu abob b'shoigeg oy b'sibas ha'tava. which comes by accident, shloim mitzar hamered oy haminus tashlech oisay b'msulos yom shlo yimod say klaus. He's just explaining what it means. Yoshev yirachameinu. It's part of yichpoy. She's not really lying. He's saying that basically the same idea. I'm not that the other two that remain, Hashem will obliterate. Obliteration means yichboish, and the way Hashem is going to obliterate it will be through throwing it into the mitzulois yom. Okay, let's go to the next page 532 with titain. After now we come to the next element, titain achar shechoshav kol hamidois bo el midas emes midas noitz chesel lo alofim. After we have considered kol hamidois, bo el midas emes umidas noitzer. We've gone through those midos. Kol hamidos. Bo el midas emes umidas noitzer chesed lo alofim. Amar shemidas emes hu shetekayem hav tochoscha. You're going to be true to your promise. Tidin ho emes v'hav tochos shivtachto di Yaakov shivtichoy v'hoyel zaracho kalfar oretz v'farasa yom v'keima shuritzen loymar achne hagolus shetidbak leofar nafsham. After golus. Shetidbak leofar nafsham, oz yakum leezra lamoy. In Golos, he says over here, based upon the pasuk of Tehillim, that Klal Yisrael kavyoch has been pulverized to dust through suffering from our enemies. Oz then yakum leezra lamoy v'yifritzu benachla b'li mitzarim. They will break forth in a nachla v'tiskayim haftacha zo mitzad midas emes shalcha, and Hashem will basically resurrect us. Due to Hashem's midah of emes, he seems to be saying that the midah of emes relates to the concept of tchiyas hameisim. After this, that we have been pulverized into dust in the difficult time of galus, Hashem will resurrect us, and we will rise once again. V'gam titin achesed shivtachto le'avraham shal avraham lo nischayiv adayin mitzad avtocha kodemes v'nikra chesed. Avraham, he's saying a very nice idea. Avraham, it was only chesed. Hashem did not, there was no emes. Emes means Hashem signed the dotted line. So Yaakov Avinu, for Yaakov Avinu we have emes. But Avram Avinu it's only called chesed. Sh'al Avram alone nischayv adayin mitzad avtocha kodemes, v'nikra chesed, avil Yaakov shekvar nischayv l'kayim ha'shvua sh'nishva l'ahalor l'amitzul Yaakov, nikra emes. Al sh'tishma sh'nishva l'avosenu hagam sh'ashvua hi minei kedem titzor. Let's explain the means over here as follows. Very interesting idea. When we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzad Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu had no documents. Avram Avinu was living a life. He was telling the entire world that there's a creator. Avraham Avinu invested in the Ribbono Shel Olam. He invested. There was no guarantee. All of you people out there in the world, you're wrong. There's a creator. They will say to Avraham Avinu, what's in it for you? Why? Why are you going out on a limb and rebelling against Nimrod? Rebelling against idolatry? What do you get out of this? What do you have to gain out of this? Nothing. I love Hashem. I'm willing to put my life on the line, even though I have nothing from this. Let's fast forward to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, you want to go to Lavan, whatever he does in his life. You want to be honest. You want to go and serve as a model for the Ribbono Shel Olam. What are you getting out of this? Why? Yaakov says, "I have a lot to gain out of this. I have a document." The document says that I'm the Yoyresh of this entire world. It's not working. What happened over here? Is the machine on? Mr. Cohen, where's Mr. Cohen? All along this wasn't even working? I wasn't even paying attention? It's not working. Is the red light on? How could I?
Even though your voice was stronger than...
All right, don't worry. I'll fix it during the break. Well, anyway, we're going to take a break soon. So the point over here is, all right, don't worry about it. I'll fix it soon. Don't worry about it. Leave it. The point over here is Yaakov Avinu has when we say, when Yaakov Avinu goes out into the world and he says to the world, you're all making a big mistake, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, Yaakov Avinu has what to gain? What does he have to gain? I have a deed that says that if I behave myself and I'm good to Hashem, Hashem will give me the entire world. So we have to appreciate there's a very big difference when we put ourselves in the shoes of Avraham Avinu versus putting ourselves in the shoes of Yaakov and Yitzchak as well. Yitzchak, Avraham Avinu had nothing. He had nothing to gain. He had no demands. In other words, if you have a job, why are you working? Because if I work, you give me a check. When you're an employee, I come into my place of employment. There's an arrangement that has been made. I come here today. I drive the bus. Okay, I'm a bus driver. I drive the bus. I get on the bus. I drive the bus. I go on my route. And when it's over, I get a check. That's the deal. So why am I driving the bus? Money. Money. I need money. I need to feed my family. That's why I'm not doing this for my good nature. And then you have another guy that has a bus, has nothing better to do, and he takes his bus, and he goes down the road, and he picks up people, and he transports them. What do you have to gain? You getting money out of this? No. What are you doing this? I love the people. I just love people. I love the people. I want them to get where they need to go. That's why I'm going to drive the bus. So isn't that a fundamental difference between Avraham and Yaakov? Yaakov Avinu was already an employee. And by Yaakov Avinu doing his job, he's guaranteed to bring home a check. Avraham Avinu is doing his job and he's guaranteed nothing. When he finishes, when he gets to the last stop, and they look at him, why in the world did you go do all this and go and take people and go down this whole route? I love people. Well, you think you can get a check from us? No. You don't deserve a check, but you know something? We're going to honor you at the next dinner of the MTA. The Mass Transit Authority is going to have a cold curry in the newspaper. We're having a dinner, and we're going to give Abraham an honorary check. And we're going to give him a job. But at the time when he did all that, there was no guarantee. That's exactly what it means over here in this pasuk over here. When it comes to Yaakov Avinu, it's a very profound concept. In this element, you would say, so tell me, who's better? Everybody say, who's better? Who do you view as being more authentic? Use Aramaic word because there was no guarantee.
I have reason to say, but he was
Oh, what did Chazal say? Gadol mitzuve v'oiseh mimi she'enoi mitzuve v'oiseh. Because if Avraham Avinu would have woken up late one day, no, so today I won't do it.
Volunteer.
I'm a volunteer, so today I won't volunteer. What do you want from me? Money or volunteer? You get what you pay for. Yaakov Avinu doesn't wake up late. Yaakov Avinu's alarm clock is set. He wakes up and he's there on the job. Gadol mitzuvah. But what do you mean? It's such a there's an element of nobility in being a volunteer. That's right. That's a maila that Avraham Avinu has that Yaakov does not have. Yaakov Avinu will never know what it means to be a volunteer. Because he doesn't have a choice.
He says, and then I will do this. It's a give and take.
Okay, you have to go.
Give and take.
But he's still a mitzvah yoisa because he still has in his pocket a deed that says, Eretz Yisrael is yours. Avraham Avinu was loyal to Hashem before Hashem said him, Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha. Yaakov Avinu, Godol mitzvah yoisa, mimish eda mitzvah yoisa, only means in their performance of the mitzvahs. It does not mean in their nobility, in their ability of character. Gadol mitzvah yoisa mish'eni mitzvah just means in their performance. It doesn't mean the entire being of the person. Each one has a mile. Don't go knock one person. And there's no such thing in this world as perfection. Everything in this world is a trade-off. What one has, someone else does not have. Torah u'gedula b'makom mecha, you don't have that. Everything is a trade-off. The Pasuk here says, we have over here Yaakov Avinu. This is the Malbim saying, singing powerful ideas here today. We're learning over here heavy-duty stuff. Yaakov Avinu, when you put your feet, you put yourself in his shoes, then you're looking at Hashem as titein emes liyaakov. Hashem, I have a shtar. You sign the dotted line. I'm making demands from you. And because I'm making demands from you, I have to do my part also. Gadol mitzvah v'yoseh. When we put our feet in the shoes of Avraham Avinu, we are not making any demands. We have no rights to demand a paycheck. Because when Avraham Avinu, when he did his service before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was not guaranteed anything. He was loyal to Hashem way before Hashem said to him, Lech Lecha, and promised him Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu was a volunteer. So by Avraham Avinu we say, Chesed. Chesed li Avraham. Give me Chesed. Chesed. You don't owe me nothing, Hashem. There's no dotted line.
Chesed can I get Chesed?
Exactly. He did chesed, Hashem did chesed. Yaakov Avinu was already part of the team. He already, the shavu was made to Avram, to Yitzchak. Now I have a document. Oh, yeah, good, you have a document, but you got to do your part. I've done my part. So I'm Teveya. It's building upon what we learned yesterday. We learned yesterday from the Mefarshim. So that's why we it's not just, Oil likes to say, Yaakov is the meat of MS. This is what he worked on. He devoted his life. He wrote a PhD on MS. Avraham Avinu, he wrote a PhD on Chesed. This was their expertise. No, the Malbim says. It's much, much deeper than that. It's much more deeper. It's not just this is what they fuck. It's their relationship with Hashem. Hashem did not owe Avraham anything. You don't owe me nothing, Hashem. I'm a volunteer. At the end of the day, Hashem says, because you're a good volunteer, I'm going to give your child a job. I'm going to give Yaakov a job. I'm going to hire him. And he will be guaranteed to bring home a six-figure salary. But he got to do the job. Yaakov Avinu has a job. He brings home the dough. But he has to do the job. But because Yaakov Avinu has a job, his diligence, in the way he performs his actions is even greater than Avraham Avinu, because he doesn't have a choice. Gadol mitzvah v'yoseh mimi she'ena mitzvah v'yoseh. Each one has its maila. So it's not just this is their expertise; it's their relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so we've done today the Malbim. Tomorrow on to the Chidah and to the Mamore Chazal and the Maral.
You know what Avraham did? For the next generation is saved Kennedy. For example, Zechol Abraham Shachol Yaakov.
What?
Zechol Abraham Shachol Yaakov. Abraham Avinu was inviting the host guest. Lechem, he was going to bring it. This was there. It was man, water, tent. For the also, Yehuda Tzeroch Nahar. What he didn't get anything himself, but he put for next generations the credit that he had.
Did you get the photo I sent you?
Yes, thank you very much. I'm sorry to respond. Thank you very much. Fascinating photo. I can show it to a lot of people. Fascinating photo. Where'd you get it from?
My son gave it to me, and he got it from another guy.
It's a very weird photo. That's not a photo you find.
I don't know where it was. It in the Rabbi Siegel book?
No. It wouldn't be there. Politically, for politics.
Right.
For politics. Political reasons.
So see if you can verify it.
One of the best things that they did, Chaim Berlin, was, the best thing is, they completely released rights to the story. They gave it over to Art Scroll. It's tremendous chiddush. Many yeshivas do this, but they always, even through Art Scroll, Art Scroll, Rav Moshe Feinstein, his MTJ is stamped all over the book. MTJ is mamash, part on the cover.
They My wife bought it for Donnie, so.
They completely, Donnie was very close to Chaim Siegel, she got it for free. Why famous? You get it for free. They gave it out for free for the Talmidim. Talmidim get it for free. Wow.
See, I'm leaving now. Ooh. I'm going to Florida for a while. So,
you're going to go how long?
Probably 6 weeks. So my daughter is due. My daughter lives in Florida. Is due March 1st.
Monday?
So Monday? Probably till then. Depending on when she has a baby, I'll be back.
I know, week after all. Are we learning Sefer Chassidim today?
Sunday.
Okay, fine. Enjoy your company. I miss you also.
We have to do Hasidim also?
Yes, yes, you learn Hasidim now.
What picture are you talking about?
What?
What picture are you talking about?